Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Oh my God. So this guy, this lawyer, wants to represent the Ignacio of Sardinia.
Yeah.
Because his wife. Okay, I'll just read it to you later. Okay. Do you want to get going?
Yeah.
Or is this the part of it now? Are we into it now?
I mean, I just started rolling again, so that's on here. I mean, if you want to explain what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll do one of those, soft entries.
Yeah, we'll just tap into this.
Yeah, okay, so hi, everybody. This is John Cass, and that's Jeff Carlin behind the glass.
Hello.
And he's got the Mexican Blackhawks.
Blackhawks of Huatulco.
Huatulco Blackhawks.
With us is Scott Stanis, the famed cartoonist at the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Scott. Good
morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Later, we're going to have Will Lee,
the
former legman, when I did have a legman. Remember those days? Yeah.
Yeah.
When everyone was jealous of me, and you have a legman. No, they don't have that.
Yeah, but we're jealous of you for other reasons.
Yeah, because of my silky thin body. Go for sin.
Your silvery hair.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want me to go
please,
on?
No, please stop. Please stop. No, stop, please. Okay, hold on.
John's right, looking something up.
So, John, so back to the lawyer.
So the other day, I write a column about a parrot in Sardinia that was weaponized. A woman named Maria hated Ignacio, who lived next door. So she taught him she bought a parrot and taught him very many words and phrases in Sardinia, in Italy. My experience in my limited travel went back in the days when I was throwing a duffel bag over my shoulder, like in an old time Old Spice.
Rolling up a pack of cigarettes in your sleeve.
Yeah. A roving. When I was in the sea, at sea, was that every place you went, whenever you went to a religious country, truly religious, not like Sweden. Or you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
That you would find the cursing would be concomitant with the level of formalized religion. So the more religion, the worse the cursing. In Greece, in Italy, Spain.
We prefer to think of it as creative.
Yes, creative. So she teaches as many of you know who read the column, you know this now, she taught she taught her parrot that did not have a name to curse this man and curse him day and night. And he called the police. He had the carabinieri come to the house. They said, please move, Maria, please move your parrot away from the window next to his house. She didn't do it. So finally, after several years, the guy cracked, grabbed a knife, stabbed her like 11 times, killed her. I'm really sorry. I don't agree with murder, but the odd thing was, of course, the parrot got away with it. The parrot's alive. So I get a letter from, I've been getting weird letters from people saying things like, you suck, I need to have another, why didn't you write about the healthcare? Or you suck, why didn't you write about Obama or Clinton or Comey or whatever? Sometimes you can't, right, Scott?
Right. No, you have to take your foot off the people's throat off.
Take the foot off my mental throat.
Or bury your head in the sand and just hope that something.
How many metaphors can we throw out here?
Or bury your head up a parrot's behind.
Or stab a parrot.
So here's
sounds like a metaphor for something.
So here's one letter that I like. Dear John, although I am a divorce lawyer, I would like to offer my legal services pro bono to defend Ignacio Frailes of Sardinia. This is from James B. Pritkin, attorney at law. Our defense will be justifiable homicide as he intended to murder the parrot and kill his neighbor in a case of mistaken identity. I totally relate to the anger and hostility that built up in Ignacio's mind as I have had one of these things living in my home for the past 27 years. I have often considered parroticide. If I were to act on my hostile and angry feelings, I'm confident a jury would find me not guilty by reason of justifiable parricide, for the following reason. While my wife of 27 years was in medical school, she needed someone or something for companionship to relieve the stress of being a young doctor. So she purchased an Amazon parrot. Shortly after she purchased the thing, writes the lawyer James V. Pritkin, Divorce and Family Law, soon after she purchased the thing, she acquired another companion in the form of a boyfriend whose name was Don.
Oh, no.
Her relationship with Don lasted 10 years. If you know anything about parrots, they can live to be 100, and once they learn something, they never forget it. Each morning for the past 27 years as I enter the kitchen where this beast is caged, I am greeted with, "Good morning, Don." James B. Pritkin, Divorce and Family Law Partner, Bierman, Pritkin, Mirabelli, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, man.
So that would suck so much.
What is it, every day he's reminded of his wife's lover? I would have killed the thing in the first 5 seconds.
Yes, the first time that said it. Maybe the second.
And what's wrong with that lawyer, man?
That night, the wife would be sitting there going, "This is delicious. What is it?"
You know, is that worse than if you find out your wife has love letters from Don in a shoebox or something? Or what?
Would that bother you?
Bad. Yeah, I wouldn't want to know.
No.
Shut up, you damn parrot. I wouldn't cut its throat. I wouldn't waste a knife thrust. You'd just grab it by the head and twist, right?
Yeah.
Pluck it. Pearl onions. I'd say some.
They're kind of gamey. Would
stewed tomatoes.
Is there a rub or something you put on that just to?
You can rub the parrot.
Oh,
if you wish.
That's going down a bad road.
Yeah, what just happened?
But what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to deal every day, Jeff Carlin, with politics and homicide and Rauner and Trump and who hates him and who doesn't like him? I would much rather write about something important like Jane Fonda and sex toys.
Yeah, what's that? I saw that. Did she?
It was in our paper.
Yeah, I know. And we had a columnist wrote about how this is liberating us all. Because
I think she was Heidi. She's a good columnist.
Yeah,
I enjoy Heidi.
I enjoy her, but I just could not, and I enjoy her very much, and I like a lot of her stuff. I just cannot enjoy the mental picture: Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, sex toys. Don't want to have it in my head, and now it's in my head. It's like the parrot; it won't stop. Jeff Carlin, what standards have we left in a newspaper business, Jeff Carlin and Scott Stennis?
Well, apparently none.
Yeah, those standards have met are reflective of the people who buy the paper. So
we, What is the saying of Marshall Field? No, Montgomery Ward. The famous saying of retail everywhere:
give the people what they want.
Actually, he said, give the lady what she wants.
Well, yeah.
So I'm just not going to go there anymore. You run the show now. Jeff.
So speaking of stores that sell things, you last week we skipped over this, and I wanted to get to it, but we were having too much fun with Kristen and Sean from Elmer Park, a.k.a. Sean from Melrose Park, a.k.a. Right. Sean Thompson.
Talking about Dan Proff's
The beanie hat and the propeller on his head.
Clothing line.
Right. Yeah. So there is, Nordstrom was selling, $500 pair or $400 pair of jeans with mud painted on them. So it looked like they were hard work, like you just got off a construction site. And,
that's like going to a certain, almost outdoor store with the word timber in it. And acting like you're a real lumberjack, baby.
Yeah, when someone who, A, had the money.
Is that like YMCA or what? Is that YMCA for dirty pants?
Yeah.
What is that?
I have no idea.
YMCA, yeah. I got my dirty jeans on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Isn't someone who can afford those and is likely to wear them would look nothing like they actually just chopped down a tree? I mean, it's
right,
ridiculous.
Well, that's, exactly.
Guys who chop down trees, not that we have the arms for it, but generally have the guts like we do.
Hey.
Okay? And so then you would have to, not you, Hardly Scott, fed. Since you're like so skinny.
Yeah, that's me.
But me and Jeff, we're still like,
sure.
Yeah.
High on life.
So. High, we're eating high off the hog, as you said, plenty of times. And, yeah, how are you supposed to wear those jeans, dude?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And I'd like to slap anybody who thought that was an idea, or anybody who bought them deserves to be, I don't know, sent to Canada.
And can you imagine the slave laborer who had, you know, was being paid 5 cents a week to, what do they think?
Right. They see all these nice things coming off the line, and like, what's this crap? What are we doing here? I don't understand. And then the funny thing, I mean, it was all a publicity stunt, but Reebok did a similar thing where they were offering pre-stained shirts. Like, it's like a workout shirt that already has the stains on
You're
it.
You're kidding.
No, I swear.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
what? What?
Yes, Reebok is offering, it was a retort really to the Nordstrom thing, but they offered a mock shirt you could buy. It looks like it's a workout shirt that's already pit stained and looks like you just got out of the gym.
Do you ever, when you go buy a shirt, which I don't do now because I'm infantile, my wife brings my black polo shirts. Whenever my polo shirts get too much stain on the shelf of fatness.
Right? Yep.
You remember that, Scott, before when you were normal?
Oh, no, I saw it's there.
Yeah,
it's...
right. He's so skinny now. You are. You're like, no, you're getting skinny. Bucks. You're like, Dan Proft. You got to wear skinny. Those skinny Dan Proft.
I'm saggy. He's skinny. I'm saggy. It's different.
And, you know, so I don't go. But when you, if you do go and try something on, listen to me, trying something on, shut up.
Do you twirl?
But do you wonder if someone else put some pit stains in it? Like, can you wear a shirt and turn it, bring it back and go, hey, this didn't fit or I don't like it, return it. And then they just take it and fold it up and then you wear the guy's sweat molecules?
No, I think they have
they wash it?
Well, there's some sort of standard there. I think they do.
I'm not talking about, like 3 nights in Vegas with the monkey and Mike Tyson. I'm talking about just wearing it one day.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they have classifications for that. I hope that there is some. If not, then we should be creating that job because that's an easy job.
So what does it mean when a culture is? Can I do that now? Can you get some Peruvian flutes playing in the background so we could be like PBS liberals?
Now we have to talk about this.
Yeah. What does it mean when a culture promotes costumes to such a degree that they wear fake dirt on their jeans?
Well, John. As the great philosopher Jean-Pierre Mercier d'Aumarmont said,
there you go. Yeah.
In our time on this planet, we look towards ourselves to find the outer self.
Yes, and Trump is really causing a lot of outer self problems, isn't he, Jeff Carlin?
Yes, he is certainly causing problems among monks the world. And many people are worrying, losing much sleep.
And I seem to recall that we should start wearing pink furry vagina hats on our heads when we go to marches.
That is cool.
I believe they call them pussy hats.
I don't use such language, Jeff. This is
public, they're cats.
This
right?
is public broadcasting. Oh yes, like the cat shavers of Virginia. Will anyone explain that one?
Oh
There's
God!
There's a gang of of people grabbing cats in Virginia and shaving them. You didn't hear about this?
I have not heard about the cat shavers of West Virginia.
It's not West Virginia. Virginia itself.
Just Virginia. Oh,
probably.
Old Dominion.
I would expect around Arlington, if I know my Virginia and politics.
Why would you think why?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
What
is that bad too? Now look at Jeff. Give me the look.
I'm not sure what the story is. So I mean,
there's multiple news reports. I can't do all the reporting for you guys. Multiple news reports that there have been cats pulled off the streets of Virginia, then shaved
against their will,
against their feline will. Yes,
that's Scott, all right.
And then released back into their cat.
Shave and release.
That's a new one. Are tax dollars funding this program, or is this a private
you
enterprise?
You think I'm joking here?
Well,
this is
no,
crime.
I'm serious.
I don't know if MS-13 is doing it, but somebody's doing it.
I mean, so it's not on a government program where they're worried about cat
no,
health.
No, this is not like you
not
know,
a cat flea outbreak or something.
This is not like $600 million to study the mind of a cat.
Right.
No, this is actual cat shaving.
Well, you touched on, there are cat people and there are dog people. And the thing about cat people is, it's your cat. It's not my cat. I had children, young children, at one time, and you have a sandbox in your backyard, the cats in the neighborhood will find them. So shaving them, I think, is the least you can do.
So what is the, why do I have to pay? So then if I, if someone shaves your cat and say your cat's not feeling well, why do I, where does it say in the Constitution, Scott Stannis, that I have to pay for your cat's health care? I just want to know.
Well, it doesn't specifically.
Jeff, is there anything there?
No.
Your cat did whatever it did as a cat. You released it to play its little cat games on the street. Now, right. I got to pay for its health care?
Well, no. I just wanted to know.
I'm just still thinking of, like, letting little Boots out for the evening, and it comes back shaved.
And the best part is, and that's now I'm looking at this.
Shaven.
I looked up your story.
So you looked it up to see if I was not lying to my readers.
The Houston Herald has it in Virginia. Virginia, the...
Houston Herald?
Houston. I'm just telling you where I found it.
Yeah.
And they say it's in Waynesboro, Virginia. Shenandoah Valley. But they're shaving cats, and not just like shaving them to shave them and make them clean shaven. They're shaving intricate designs into the cats. So maybe it's aliens.
What do you mean designs?
Like designs, like they're giving them like a mohawk or like a ridged back, so it looks like a dinosaur.
All during communists.
Or it looks like it has boots on, like fuzzy boots, and then shaved clean the rest of the way. I mean,
really,
all sorts of interesting stuff. Yeah.
Actually, I think Jeff may have a point. Maybe aliens trying to communicate with us, and that's their language.
They know that cats rule the world because cats are evil, and John says they steal our souls, and everyone should be afraid of them.
That would
explain why they're the conduit. To the,
you know, it's really the most offensive thing that happened so far this podcast
that
you had to go look it up. thinking that I was lying.
I was curious as an owner of two cats. I was curious to see what kind of cat shaving.
That's another thing. I like Jeff Carlin very much, but he has two cats, so that's why he sits.
Oh God!
Between the glass.
Two greatest cats on the planet: Tyrion the half cat and Ilsa P cat.
The half cat.
Yeah, he's a
tiny cat.
He's a dwarf cat.
Really?
Yeah, I've shown you pictures of him. He's got his front legs are all of 4 inches long, and he's long and slender. He's like a dachshund, but in cat form.
Really? But he can't catch. He can't catch mice for anything. But he. Can,
oh yeah, he catches.
But he
mice.
Drinks and knows things.
Yeah, well, that exactly.
Right.
He's caught. Well, he went and battled a mouse once. And then he's been living on that for a long time, and yes.
All right.
So that's why we call him Tyrion the Half-Cat.
That's so sad.
Wow.
He's awesome. He's great.
Is he?
Yeah,
great. You look past his, I don't know what to call it. Can you call a cat handicapped or not? Is that illegal, too, in this world?
Differently abled.
Yeah, differently. Height challenged.
Vertically challenged.
Vertically challenged.
My other cat is also challenged. She's cross-eyed and there's something wrong with her, but she's adorable, but just goofy.
There's something about Jeff that we...
Island of Misfit.
Wow.
I know.
Do you live by yourself?
No. He has the lovely Christine.
Yes.
Have we met Christine? Does she exist?
Yes.
John, look it up. He looked up your thing. You look up Christine.
You met
together
Christine.
At my house.
But Christine and your wife have had many conversations about...
All right.
Chicken, I think we were saying around chicken at the time.
Scott was too busy taking great video of me chopping a lamb, I think.
Yeah.
Well, think
what?
Right.
When? That was a few years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Were you there?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I only have like two friends in the world. You guys
are
not.
Well, the more you try to shave the cat, the more the thing will bite and scratch. It's best, I think.
Can I ask you this real quick? Now, tell me why. I mean, I think I know why this upsets me, but you articulate things better than I do oftentimes. This is reported today. Mayor Rahm Emanuel will host a naturalization ceremony with Mexico City Mayor Miguel Mancera. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But does it strike you as odd that a naturalization service, which is to swear you in as an American citizen where you swear fidelity to this great country, that the mayor of Mexico City would be there?
No. Because before I articulate this, let me play the role of Scott Stannis, ace and award-winning cartoonist. I would draw Mayor Rahm Emanuel in a black tight pants, like tight pants with black boots and maybe silver spurs, a black silk shirt with a black silk scarf around his neck, and one of those like cowboy hats, but not a, you know, cowpuncher hat, one of those Mexican brim hats with the long, wide brim, not a sombrero, just a real cool Zorro hat.
Okay.
Like Tyrone Power in Zorro. Because that's who he is. He's Mayor Zorro. And you know why he's Mayor Zorro?
Tell me.
Zorro fought for the poor against the alcalde, who was the evil mayor, but I can't extend the, you know, keep the metaphor going. He fought for the poor against the rich. He was like the Mexican, Robin Hood. And guess what? The Laquan McDonald trial's gonna come up before the election. And everything will come out again, and people will be reminded again. And then, what? He better have something to support him. And what he's doing is he's playing up the sanctuary city.
Yeah.
I'm a sanctuary city. I come to me. All the people come to me. I will protect you in the great basilica.
I wanted to have him as Quasimodo on top of City Hall going, sanctuary!
That's good too.
That'd have been great.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think it's politics. I mean, it's he's all just trying to build as much political capital heading into the election, yeah, or actually, well, not even the election, heading into Laquan McDonald trial because he's going to lose so much of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It doesn't mean much to me. People ask me, it's the same thing about the Pritzker getting the endorsement. You know, Summers last week. I'm like, it's so early and it's not, you know, not to be unexpected. It's pointless.
Well, that's what I did. It's interesting you brought that up because I wanted to talk about J.P. Pritzker and see what John thought of this guy as well, because apparently he's Madigan's boy now. That's certainly the implication from this endorsement. Is that
why? Because Kurt Summers endorses him?
Yeah.
You know, Danny Michalopoulos, the columnist of course. At the Sun-Times, former writer here and one of my dearest friends. He did a piece on Pritzker hanging out with all the Madigan and other types, organization types, in Cicero, land of, you know, progressive politics, as we know, with Larry Dominick and other people. And I'm thinking, okay, man, you know, this is like he's coming off as a progressive. He's hanging out with all these guys. You know why? Because he wants to get elected.
Okay.
And all this is about getting him elected.
Yeah, but the last thing we need in the governor's seat is a Madigan lapdog. Is that what we're looking at here? I don't know anything about Pritzker, so you got to help me.
J.B. Pritzker's a decent fellow, actually, who ran and could have done great service for this country when he ran against Jan Schakowsky, of all people, in the 9th District up north. And she, in her liberal ways, painted him as some sort of rich, evil guy. Okay? And I remember having lunch with him at Bruna's, one of my favorite places. You ever been there?
No.
24th and Oakley. We had veal salt and book. You know why I know this? Years and years ago? Because I always have that.
Right.
Veal salt and book. With a side order of linguine aglio and a nice, maybe...
Chianti?
I would say maybe Valpolicella. You know,
Valpo,
yeah. And so we were talking, and he was all freaked out that, oh, I'm a rich guy, and I'm going to get the crap beat out of me because I'm rich. You know what I mean? That whole rich thing. And I said, why don't you own it?
Yeah.
Just own it.
Just say, I was lucky. Hey, listen, this is what a blessing. And now I'm here to serve people who weren't as fortunate.
The thing about rich guys, no one can buy them. They're not in it for the money.
Well, the Kennedys seem to do okay with it. The Roosevelts seem to do okay with that. I mean,
well, if you're Kennedy or Roosevelt, you need an army of suck-ups to create you as someone on Mount Rushmore, right? Or I'm the young man who pulled the sword from the stone, Camelot, right?
Well,
and Pritzker doesn't have that. He's just kind of he's a guy, oddly enough, even heavier than me. And he's doing some commercial about being big.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun.
Like, he's great to draw, by the way, just so everyone knows. Oh, my gosh, yes, because he's big and he's got the big shock of black hair. Kennedy's fun, except he's put on a lot of weight. But he had that. He has the Kennedy hair where he combs it over and goes on the other side.
Are you tired of? Are you sad that you can't draw Hillary and Barack Obama anymore?
Well, Hillary's running again. Hillary is running again. People scoff at me, but Hillary is running again. She shows every sign of it. She put Perez in the DNC. Her boy is heading the thing up to the, you know, consternation of the Bernie and all the other, you know, socialists in the party.
I just gave you one cartoon idea, Zorro.
Yes.
Right? Mayor Zorro, Rahm Emanuel. Here's another one. Hillary Clinton, when she says, I'm out of the woods, then she runs back in the woods.
Yes.
And there's a little house, and it's on chicken feet, and it walks around and around from glen to glen. You know what I mean? At night, so you can never find out where she lives. That's from my Russian fairy tales.
Very nice.
You will find that in the legend of Baba Yaga.
In the Russian wars, there's an evil witch. People only whisper her name in fright. Teeth of sharpened iron, hands that catch the wind, steals the children sitting in the bed and cried. She dies in a mortar and pestle.
Baba Yaga.
The wolves are afraid to chase her. The wind is afraid to race her. The Russians are afraid to face her. Except for one.
And one person who loves legends and myth and fantasy, also homicide stories, is my other colleague, Will Lee, reporter from the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Will.
Hey, John, Scott, how are you guys doing?
What's going on in the world? Because we're busy talking about sex toys and Jane Fonda and stuff.
I've been in the newsroom down just reading horrible, horrible stories, you know, news stories to get myself all, you know, caught up for the weekend, you know.
Well, the one story I wanted to talk to you about is the one you and the others worked on, the South Shore. That story about the South Shore basically devolving into, you know, crime and fear and people still fighting to keep it going comes right after or right before Obama shows up, Scott Stanis, to give us his rendition of his beautiful life. Beautiful temple to himself, and I've wondered, what the hell did he do as president for this city? What's going on in South Shore?
South Shore, what's going on in South Shore has been going on since pretty much in the past 40, 50 years. Folks moved out way back when, but in the very beginning, you had a lot of, you know, well-to-do blacks, that first generation, those first few generations moved in, but here we are, fast forward. You know, the 20-teens and a lot of those folks have been gone. They've moved away. They've
right.
Died.
Jewish people right. left. First it was right. WASPs and Jews came right. in. Jews now, the old-time Jews of South Shore live, are friends of mine in Highland Park, and they're Sox fans still. You know, it's weird, right? They live in a lot. That was right. that migration. Black middle class was there and still kept it into a great neighborhood. And then about... How long ago was it that Democrats, beloved by people like Daley and his real estate friends, decided, let's break up the projects?
They did.
Because we have real estate to develop. And Buzz Palmer, founder of the African American Patrolman League, a revolutionary and a guy I respect, even though he's a man firmly of the left, started warning us about this, right?
Right.
What did you find?
Well, it's been that fear. It's been literally since, you know, those, you know, the befores have left. It's what's, you know, is South Shore, which was this huge, you know, very dense community with all of these, this great real estate. It's going to fall into ruin. Everyone was very surprised by that. And despite the fact that very many millions of dollars have been poured into it, it's turned into, you know, very largely what they feared it would be. And that's where we are with it. So we tracked some family members. I found a beautiful family who lived there all for 2 years and said, you know, the husband, who's an investment banker downtown, said, that's it. I can't handle it anymore. this kid being shot in the gas station is the last straw.
They have children?
Right. Four little girls. He says there will be no more straws. And him and his family moved to a small apartment in Bronzeville until their home is built in Northwest Indiana. And he says, like, the smartest, best decision he's ever made.
Yeah, I don't, I mean.
You can't blame him, right?
No, but still a great, bustling city with no problems.
But at least we'll have the Obama Temple of honoring you.
That thing looks like a Mayan temple. Have you not noticed this? Look at it again.
Yeah, so we can play soccer and the losers die?
And they cut their heads off and we play with soccer with their heads.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I said Temple of Doom. I said when I saw it, when the very first sketch came out, I said it looks like, is this the Temple of Doom or something?
And you know why you think that? Seriously, this is an aesthetic thing. There are no windows. There are very few windows except for the lower floors. It's a stone monolith. And that's why you say Temple of Doom.
You know what else has no windows? The Tower of the Wizards in Carth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Am I right there?
The House of the Undying?
The House of the Undying. Game of Thrones, right?
Spinoffs.
Spinoffs. There's four spinoffs. Okay, I know. I want to talk about Obama and how he didn't care about Chicago and how he helped Iran more than he helped
His archive, by the way, just a side issue. Yeah. His archive is not going to be in that place. His stuff isn't going to be there.
What's
going
to be there?
A statue,
a
temple,
basketball court.
What is that?
Yeah.
A multi-purpose room.
How does he have $2 billion to give anybody?
Because he got paid $400,000 to talk to somebody.
The advance on the book is going to be eight figures.
Another book?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Wait, he's not even.
Dreams of his children.
That's the one thing that always bothered me about him. One thing. Of
women. One?
Oh. Hey, I'm sorry. I thought it was only one.
I know him,
and I don't. When a politician, I don't care right or left, when they come to the Tribune, I do not soil the carpets. I know others do because they get so wiggly and excited. And you know who else doesn't? Scott Stannis and Will Lee.
I was a little, when Trump got here a couple of years. I said, "Ooh, I went to touch his orange hair. It was fantastic.
That's good.
And did you?
Did it stain your fingers? Oh, never mind.
Like Cheetos. It's like, oh.
But did not Obama help Iran more than he helped Chicago?
He certainly spent more money there, yeah. Infrastructure improvements and
stuff.
What
did he do for Chicago? Talk good. Good talker.
I don't know. Well, that's the whole thing.
He held a rally.
Shouldn't he have given money? Like a ton of money? I was hoping for reparations, but he kind of failed me there.
40 acres and a mule?
I'd have taken a little less than that, you know. You know, I could probably get a lot from a mule. I could, you know.
And a stumpy cat?
Yes.
Stumpy cat.
All right, let's talk
some real news now instead of all that political stuff. I mentioned it. I hear that HBO is going to come out with four spinoffs.
Yeah.
Of Westeros.
Yes, sir.
They're working on it now. They have writers dedicated to it. What's going on, Will Lee? Our Game of Thrones men in tights and breasts and dragons correspondent?
Well, thank you for the intro, John. First of all, let me.
Illustrious title.
Let me just.
He knows all about.
This has been a rough early part of the year for me because we were supposed to be weeks into Game of Thrones now. I just feel like punching someone in the face.
Yeah, I know. What the heck?
It's angry. It's making me angry. But
and it's only, what, seven episodes, right?
Yes.
In
July, of all places. I don't know what I'm supposed to do until then. Like, live a life?
I have the last book that I got on. I don't read them because I didn't want to tell Mr. Martin when Willie and I had lunch with him. I really don't think he's a good writer, but I think he's a great storyteller. So I listened to the tape on my phone.
You can say tape. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Old timer. Yeah. Whatever it is.
Be older, John.
I listened to it in my car.
Who does the voice?
Reading by Roy Dutrice.
Oh.
And I don't like his Tyrion, I have to say. But I have the last book, Will, and I'm scared to listen to it because what if they push it back another, you know?
It's a frightening thing because right now all of the cast for the past few months have been teasing like horrible, even more, you know, insane changes during this past season. So, it's right now, I think what they're trying to do is because of course, you know, better than anybody, the immense world that this is. So what they'll probably do, based on reports, is just kind of pick various characters who to, you know, who knows? It could be Rhaegar Targaryen, the Unseen Prince.
Like a prequel?
Yeah, it could be anything. I mean, it's, from what I heard this morning on the wires was they were saying, we're not rushing it. We just want to make sure that it has, you know, writers and have enough time to kind of come and have great material. So what they're really trying to do is they're trying to make sure this next project pulls people in quite like the same one did, you know, like the first series does.
Well, John will watch all four. We will be standing outside getting fresh air, and he will be quizzing me on all four of the spinoffs.
You've come into the family. You're of the body now.
I am.
Aren't you of the body?
I am, yes. One of the great endings.
You're not of the body. You are of the body.
I love the idea that they got to the end of the books, and no spoilers here, but how they decided to go forward was brilliant.
Okay, let me ask you this now. For you and for Jeff Carlin.
Uh-oh.
Because I know him. He's a friend of mine now. He's our lunch buddy, Willie and mine.
Really?
George R.R. Martin. We had lunch together. What did he tell us about the Wall of Ice was based on?
The 67 Blizzard.
The Wall of Ice was based on the 67 Blizzard when he was here at Northwestern. Yeah, right?
Right.
And I didn't want to write about it. Will's like, you got to write about it. So I did.
Yeah.
Good call, Will.
But now, they've gone past the books.
Yeah.
In other words, fans are still waiting. Will you write your seventh book, right?
Angry.
And end it.
Oh.
And he can't write, and the TV show keeps going forward, so now he's stuck. I don't think he'll ever finish it. Just, why don't you just go off and live with the, you know, do some Carlos Castaneda thing, you know, drop some mushrooms and stay up in the mountains and forget about it, because you think he'll ever finish that?
Here's the problem, John. He did before our lunch when he was addressing Northwestern students. What he did talk about, and I think you can probably relate to this, is that he became such a figure that now he is getting offers to do everything. You know, come here, have lunch with us, let us give you this recognition. He's getting pulled in every sort of direction. He has to now have multiple assistants because he can't really possibly keep up his social life. Is probably like it's never been. I think about you sometimes.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like that well-known. Yeah,
well, you kind of are.
As somebody who's handled your schedule before, I know very much that in those high times, everyone wants a piece of, wants a piece.
You know what you do? This is what I do. I work at the Western Suburban Bureau now.
Dragonstone.
Dragonstone. Right? And I work there, and I don't come in because I can't get anything done here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel like that, Scott? I work
from the River North office, and
you can't get stuff done.
It's difficult. It is.
Yeah. People bother you all the time, don't
they? Well, it's nice. It's a nice problem to have. They stick their head in and say, "John, how you doing?" I'm one of them, and I go, "John, you doing anything?" He'll go, "No."
Yeah. He comes in to my office at 3. Now that I don't have a leg, Ben, and haven't had one for 2 years. Thanks, Will. Hope you're having fun out there. Walking over homicide victims while I'm dying.
So much fun. So much fun.
But here's now without a gatekeeper, Scott comes in. Hey, man, what's up? 3:00.
Oh, I try not to. I make it more like 2.
Can you bother Jeff Carlin when he's producing a show?
Yeah.
Like it from 2. Don't even go. 2:00 to 3. Are you going to let anyone?
Let's go have lunch, Jeff. Yeah, yeah. My office is full of people at 2:00 for whatever reason. And there's just always people in there, and I just have to, I have my back to them, and they just converse amongst themselves. They talk to the back of my head usually, and I'm.
What, like Row?
Yeah, or, other members of the show, or.
And you're trying to juggle the show.
Right, I'm making calls, I'm trying to make sure our guests are ready, and make sure we're having everything we need, and listening to audio. It's great. But I love it. I really love it.
And on that note, because I love it too, Jeff, I just love thinking about it, you in that position. I think we should all, everybody listening, we should just go to Scott's house now and sit outside.
The River North office.
At the River North office. Janine will make us some beautiful, like, Sicilian pastries or something, and we'll just have coffee and just
make a lot
of noise while he's working.
That'd be great.
More than nice, it sounds lovely.
It sounds lovely. She's lovely. Hey, everybody, John Cass, Scott Stannis, Will Lee, and the man behind the glass, Jeff Carlin. Thanks again for being here, and remember this. if you're looking for someone to write about sex toys and Jane Fonda, you're not looking at me because I'm not going there.